is Daf Mem Zayin. Top line, the Gemara says, Haya Echar Mehem Mesachek Bukubya. So the Mishnah had said if one of the individuals was Mesachek Bukubya, he was a gambler, so then he said that he would not be able to take a Shua. So the Gemara says, Ha Tu Lomeli, what's the need for another example of this? We already gave other examples of people who are apostle. So the Gemara says, Tani Psula Deraisa Vekatani Psula Derban. The first examples that were listed were those who were apostle on a Deraisa level, a real Gazim. Misacha Bakubya is not a Psul Deraisa. Misacha Bakubya, the Chachamim had invoked a Psul, and because it's similar to stealing, and therefore, since it's Psul Madirabanam, the Mishnah wanted to list it as a separate example. Then the Gemara says, Hayu Ushneim Chashudim. The Mishnah had taught us that if, let's say, both parties, the one who's being towing, the one who's requesting the money, and the Nitan, or the Nitva, the one who is being requested from, if both of them are chashid on the Shua, so what's the halacha? And the Gemara, the Mishnah had said that Chazra Shavua Limkoma. So Gemara's Amarle, Rav Lev Nachman, Heichi Tanan, how exactly is this Mishnah taught? So the question here, if you look at Rashi, what the Shaila is, two lines down, Heichi Tanan, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachloku, or Rabbi Meir Omer Yachloku. Our Mishnah said that Rabbi Meir holds Yachloku. He's of that opinion. But apparently there are some other traditions that Rabbi Yossi was the author behind the din of Yachloku. So who says it? So the Gemara says, Amarle Rav Nachman, Rav Lev Nachman again, Heichi Tanan, Amarle, Lo Yadana, I don't know who said it. Hilchas Amai, so fine. But what's the psak? Do we pass in Yachloku or not? How do we decide? So Amar Lei, Lo Yadan, I don't know the answer. I don't know who is the author behind Yachloku. I also don't know how we paskin. So Itamar, Amar Rav Yose, Bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yose, Omer Yachloku. Rabbi Yose is the one who says Yachloku. V'chein Tani, Rabbi Zvid, Bar Elshaya, Rabbi Yose, Omer Yachloku. So we see Rabbi Yose is behind the position of Yachloku. We still don't know how we paskin. Ikadamri. Others say, Tani Rav Zvid, Amar Rav Oshaya, Rav Yossi, Omer Yachloku, Amar Rav Yose Bar Minyumi, Eved, Rav Rav Nachman, Uvda, Yachloku. So in this version, not only do we say that Rav Yossi is the one who says Yachloku, we actually, Halacha L'maisa, we paskin like Rav Yossi, that Yachloku. Okay. Now the Gemara says, what was the psak when we said, Hayushneim Chashudim? Both parties were chashud on the Shavu. We don't trust. Normally the lach is, we say, Nishban Velo Mishalman. The one who can take a shvua and he gets off the hook. But then we said sometimes when midir banan we throw the shvua on top of the nishban umishaman. We allow the person to collect the money. But what happens if both parties are chashid? We don't trust either one to take a shvua. So the Mishnah paskin the chazra shvua lemakomo. The shvua goes back to its makom. So unclear what that meant in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says it's actually a machlokes. Lahechan chazra. Where is the shvua going back to? So Amar Rabbi Ami the Rabboseinu shebebavil amru. Chazra Shul is Sinai. The rabbis of Babel said it goes back to Sinai. And the Rabboseinu Shebe Eretz Yisrael, Amru Chazara Shul the Mechuyavlav. It goes back to the one who's the Chayiv in it. So you have to understand what that means exactly. See, Rashi says, L'Sinai, three lines down, when it goes back to Sinai, it means L'Shivuas Har Sinai, Sheshbiya Kadosh Baruch Es Yisrael, Alo Sigzo. We all fall back to the Shul that we all took, the oath that we took at Kabbal Satara, which is we can't steal. So Lamaisa, so who's taking the shvua? We said again, if both people are chashid, the lacha is chazra shvua l'mkoma. So it's going back to the shvua we took at Har Sinai. Look what the Gemara the Rashi says. V'hu, who here is a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Who, Yifra min ha-kofer mamon l'chavera, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure somehow he'll figure out that that person will pay the money up. About Bezdin, ain't his kakin lo l'shvua lo l'pirom. We don't let Bezdin get involved here. If both parties are chashid, their hands are tied. Bezdin can't do anything about it anymore. So it goes back to the shvua, and then a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to intervene and figure out what's going on. That's the Rabboseinu of Bavel. It goes back to Sinai. The Rabboseinu Sheb Eretz Yisrael, they said it goes back to L'mechuyivla. Rashi says two narrow lines down. L'mechuyivla is Alzeh Shehod de Bemikzas. The one who admitted who is Mod de Bemikzas, he's chayv on a shvua Medaraisa. So, but he's chashid. So then we threw it on the other guy who's being Tovea. We said he's chashid also. So we make the guy go back who's supposed to take the shvua modem mikdash. But Rashi explains we don't actually make him take a shvua. He can't take the shvua because he's chashid. And so to the other guy's chashid. So we have to say sharei chashid hu yishalim. He therefore he has to pay. So there is no shvua that's actually taking place. Either according to again Rabbi Seinu Sheba Bavel, no one pays either. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to intervene. Or, according to Rabbi Hoseinu Be'eretz Yisrael, we make the guy, the initial guy who has to take a shvua, but since he can't, we make him actually pay. So the Gemara clarifies now, Rabbi Hoseinu Sheba Bavel, who is that? That is referring to, Amar Papa first, Rabbi Hoseinu Sheba Bavel is Rav and Shmuel, and Rabbi Seinu Sheb Eretz Yisrael, that's referring to Rabbi Abba. So the Gemara explains each one. Rabbi Seinu Sheb Bavel, Rabbi Shmuel, how do we know this? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, V'chein ha-yisomim lo yifru ela b'shvua. When yisomim are coming to collect, they're coming from their father. The father was owed money. The father dies. So now the yisomim are collecting the money owed to their father. They're only allowed to collect if they first take a shvua. So the Gemara wants to understand, what does this Mishnah mean? What's the case? V'avino n'ba, miman. Who are they collecting from? Ilema milove. If the yisomim are collecting from a lova, the borrower who owes money to the father, so avuhon shaka, the father who was the bank, would be able to shaka below shavua. The father of the bank could have taken the money without having to take a shavua. So now inu b'shavua, so now we make the yisomim, the orphan, they would have to take from a shavua? That doesn't make any sense. Now, what they point out here is, we can't require the yisomim, the malve, the yisomim, to take a shavua. If the lova says we paid back your father already, so then we would require the yisomim to take a shvua. But if the lova don't claim that, we do not make the yisomim take a shvua. So that can't be the case here, where the yisomim of the malve are collecting from the lova. That wouldn't be a shvua. Ela hachi kamar. V'chein ha-yisomim min ha-yisomim lo yifru ela b'shvua. If yisomim the malve are collecting from the yisomim from the lova, that's the case, they have to take a shvua. So the Gemara explains what's going on here exactly. So comes along Rav Shmuel. They both hold Damri Tevayu Lo Shanu Ela Shemes Malve Bechaye Lova. It's only true if the Malve, the bank, died first. The father who gave the money, he died first while the Lova was still alive. Aval, will explain what this means in a second. Aval, if it's a case where the Mace Lova Bechaye Malve, if the Lova dies first, so now the Yisomim, the Lova, owe money to the bank. So then, kfar nischai malve livnei lova shivua. So now, if the malve wanted to go ahead and take from the yisomim, right? Reuven was a lova, he owed money to Shimon. I'm the bank, so I'm the malve. Reuven owes money to me. Reuven dies now. So now his children have to pay the money that's owed to me. So the lacha is that since the yisomim, I'm only allowed to collect from yisomim if I take a shvua. So now the malve dies after that point. So the halach is ve'ein adam morish shvua lebanav. If the malva was only able to collect with a shvua, and then the malva dies, he cannot inherit that requirement of a shvua to the children. So let's just look at Rashi to get a little more clarity here. Rashi says, if you go to lo shanu de b'shvua mi'as yifru yisame milove shotziu shtar al yisame lova. We don't require a shvua that when the yisomim, the malve, collect from the lova, only when a situation where, again, that the malve died b'chaye lova. But if it's all the way around, where the lova died first, so then it says Rashi, kvar nischai malve v'nei lova shua, really the children of the lova. If the malve who's alive wanted to collect from the children, the yisomim, and the lova, he needs a shvua. The moment the lova died, ein lo lemalva, the bank, is not able to lipara mina yisomim. He needs to take a shvua in order to collect from the children of the lova. The Kaimelon, there's a klal we have that ein shifron min hayisomim ela b'shvua. So now he's owed a shvua. The malva needs to take a shvua. But now the malva dies. Now the yisomim of the malva want to collect from the yisomim of the lova. The ein adam morish levana of mamon shu mechuyv alav shvua. So the malve is only able to inherit money to his children. But to inherit money that you could only collect based on the shvua, that doesn't pass through Yerusha. And Rashi says, V'yisomim ein yichal nishava kein. Now the yisomim can't take a shvua, ela shelo pakadnu abba v'ein du shvua hamotelas alaviyim. Now the only shvua the yisomim could take is, our father never commanded us this way or that way. And that was never a shvua that the father had to take. So we're going to, v'gam yisame lova, the orphans of the lova on the other end, ein yichal neshava, they can't take a shvua either, shepar avin, that the father paid, kamar, v'rav shmo shalo yifro, because you don't know if the father paid. So this ended up being a situation where the yisomim of the malva and the yisomim of the lova, neither side are able to take shvua, because they don't know exactly what took place before. And so says the Rashir, alma mechuyu v'shvua v'eno yachal on the Shabbat. Neither one could take a shvua. Lo zev lo zev. Svir lul Rav Shmuel. Chazra shvua l'sinai. Goes back to Sinai. The ain kan lo shvua velo pi rabban.
Even so, if it's a shtar?
Even if it's a shtar, because you have no idea if it was paid or not. Yeah, it could be if there's a shtar, maybe there should have been a receipt. We spoke about the other day that if there's a receipt, you have to first swear that you never found the receipt. But that was only when one was alive and the other one were yisomim. But here, both parties are yisomim, so it gets a little bit more complicated whether they can take shvuas, and we say they can't take shvuas. So in which case, in the end of the day, we paskin, Rav and Shmuel says, no one pays. The hands are tied. And exactly. Baruch Shmuel takes care of it. That's the raya that Rav and Shmuel are the ones of Rabbi Hussein Rishab Babel, who holds that it's a shvua chazer l'mkomo, it's chazer l'sinai, no one has to pay. That was a little bit confusing. This other side is a little easier. Who are the Rabbi Hussein Rishab Babel Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara says that was Rabbi Abba. How do we know Rabbi Abba is the one who holds that if neither party could take a shvua, we make the modem a miktas guy, the guy who owes money, he has to pay, even though since he can't take a shvua. So the famous case of the Hahu Gavra, the Chotif Nascha Mechavre. A guy grabbed a certain, I don't know, what do they call it? Silver.
Ingot.
Okay, I'm going to use a bar of silver then. So the guy took a bar of silver from some other guy. Also, Lakame de Rav Ami. The guy says, it went to Rav Ami, who is Yosef Rabbi Abba Kame. Rabbi Abba happened to be sitting in front of Rabbi Ami at the time. So he says, I see Chad Sada, the Machtav Chatva Minai. I have an Eid Echad who saw that Reuven stole a silver bar from me. Amrele. So the guy said, yeah, in Chatvi, I didn't steal, I took from you that silver bar, but Vididi Chatvi, it was mine. You took it from me first, so I was just taking it back. So Amr Rabbi Ami, Hechli Daini. So Rami wondered, how exactly do we judge such a case? Daini lahaidina neima lehaizil shalem. If you say that the guy should pay money, well, you can't make the guy pay money who took the silver bar, because leka trei saadi. So there aren't two witnesses to say he really owes money. Niftri, if you're going to say he goes off the hook, so the problem is, ikechad saadi, there's one sa'ed that goes against him that says he owes money. So you can't let him go off the hook, but you can't be mechayiv him to pay money either, because there aren't two aid. So name alay zeal is shtab. Maybe he should take a shua. We know there's a klal, eid echad can be mechayiv a shua. Even though an eid echad can't be mechayiv mamon, they can make you at least take a shua. So now the eid echad says I took the silver bar, make me take a shua to be off the hook. The problem is, kevin damar michtav chatvi havle kagazim. But since I admitted I grabbed it from your hands, whenever you own something, there's a klal, kol masha tachas yado, it's kilu, it's yours. So that itself is a certain edus. So about me taking it, that indicates I'm a gazlan. I'm admitting to me being a gazlan. So Amar Lei, so I can't take a shua because I'm a chashid for being a gazlan. So what do you do in this case? So Amar Lei, Rabbi Abba who's sitting in front of Rabbi Ami, as Rabbi Ami was analyzing this out loud, Rabbi Abba said that hava mechuyev shua, the guy, me, I took the silver, I'm chayv shua because there's an eid echad against me. However, bein yachol dishava, since I can't take a shvua, v'chol mechui v'shvua, ein yachol dishava, mishalem, so you have to pay. So get back to the mission. When the mission says, shneim chashudim chazra shvulim komo, that means the initial guy who is being nitba from, who's being claimed from, he has to take pay money because he's not able to take a shvua.
So even though there's one aid, and
then
one aid requires a
shvua?
So
yeah, I'm chashud, because I admitted I stole something. I took something. Now, on eight other mason atzma rasha, how can I make myself? How can I incriminate myself? So there's a lot of discussion here. I have to run to davening soon, but there's a lot to discuss here. This is a huge topic. It's called Nascha de Rabbi Abba. They refer to the sugya. A lot to talk about. Gemara now says Amar Rava Kavase de Rabbi Abba Mistava. Rava says that Rabbi Abba, the last opinion that says V'chol Shen Yachol Dishaba is Mishalim, he makes more sense based on a brisa. The Tani, Rabbi Ami says, Shvuas Hashem tia bein shneim. There should be a shvua between the two parties who lent to each other, the Malv and the Lova, but velo bein hayorshim. There shouldn't be amongst the Yisomen, the orphans, the ones who inherit, should not be taking a shvua with each other. Hechidami, what's the case? Asks the Gemara. Elaim, if you're going to say, Damrelei manor laba biaravicha, I say to you that my father had money from your father, and now it's in your possession, we're the Yisomim, so we should you pay back the money. Vamrlei, you say back to me, Chamishin Islay v'chamishin Lesle. 50 I admit to, the other 50 I completely deny. So if this is the case that there's a shvua bein shneim, but not bein hayorshim, that meaning there shouldn't be a shvua modem amiktas in this case, asks the Gemara, Mali hu mali b'avua. What do you mean? Who cares if it's the father being modem amiktas or the son being modem amiktas? You should have to take a shvua chayiv shvua modem amiktas. So what's the case here where Rabbi Ami says that the Shavua is only between the two initial parties and not between the Yorshim? It must be a case of Elalav, Damarlei, Mana, Laba, Biyad Avicha. My father has money in your father's possession, and now we have these Yisomim, you owe me money. And now what the son responds back, the Lova says, Amarlei, Chamishin Yadana. I'm aware that my father owed your father 50, but Chamishin Lo Yadana, there's another 50 though I'm unaware, I'm just not sure. I'm not denying it, I'm not admitting to it. I don't know. Lo Yadana. So what's the Allah, the Gemara says? Top of Mem Zayin Amid Beis now. E Amris, if you're going to tell me Bishma Aviv Ki Gavna Mechayiv, if you say in this very case where the father would have said I owe 50 and the other 50 I just don't know about, so he's Chayiv. So then it's Rechkra Limiftar Gavi Yorshin. So that's why you need to tell me that the Yorshin are going to be Pater. But El, if you're going to tell me E Amris Aviv Ki Gavna Nami Pater, if the father had said Lo Yodanu, I don't know Liadati, so we would say the father's Pater, so Pasha the Yorshin of Pater, Kra Gavi Yorshin Lomeli. What's the need for a Pasuk to tell me that the Yorshin of Pater as well? So it must be in a situation where the father, if he says Eni Odeya, he's Chayiv. So since Eni Odeya is a situation where you, if your person claims Eni Odeya, you can't take a Shvuah on Eni Odeya. So he has to therefore pay. The father must be chayiv. That's why the pasuk is telling me that the children are in fact pater. So this is how we see that Rabbi Abba, based on the Brisa, that the Rabbi Abba is correct that again v'chol shenu yachol lishava is mechayiv mishalem.
Is it the other guy is sure? It's a bari v'shema. The other guy, he says you owe me, and he's saying I don't know.
Yeah, but so if he's a guy saying I don't know, you still don't take a shvuah in that case though.
I'm saying why shouldn't you pay? Why
shouldn't he have to pay? Then we are saying he is to pay,
right,
the father,
only
yeah.
Only because,
he is.
Like, I'm sort of like, but yeah, but I'm saying the Chachil should have to pay. Why? It's only because he can't take a
no,
shua.
Normally, you right, pay. Normally you should take a shua. If you really think you're not sure, take a shua. But since he doesn't know, you can't take a shua on a Shema claim, maybe he has to pay. In a Chalama, yeah.
It's not like a backhand.
Okay, the Gemara now says four lines down. Rav Shmuel, Hai Shavuos Hashem, Mai Kadarish Bei. So, what's Rav and Shmuel going to do with the pasuk Shavuos Hashem? According to Rabbi Abba, Shavuos Hashem is telling us that only the father has chayiv, but not the children. But Rav Shmuel, who hold that the father, even the father won't be chayiv in that case. The father, we just say, if they can't take a shua, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will just intervene. So, what do they do with the drasha? Mi Barilei Kidetanya. Shimon ben Tarfon Omer Shuas Hashem Tia Bein Shneim, meaning what? Melamed Shavua Chala Al Shneim. The Shavuos Chala on both them. Look at Tosfos, two wide lines down. Chala Al Shneim means Nenash Hamashbia Afila Dinimo. Both parties are going to be Chayiv, even the one who takes the Shavua, and even if he's correct, he's still going to be subject to a punishment. Kideperish Bekuntris Bereish Hadayanim. So, which itself is very fascinating. Whenever a person takes a shvua, even if he's correct, there's still some level of punishment that's involved. What that means exactly, I'm not quite sure. You'd imagine the guy takes a shvua emes, there shouldn't be any type of punishment, but it sounds like an interesting Rashi and Tosfos here, what exactly that means. Okay, the Gemara now says, now, Shimon ben Tarfon Omer Azhara, le'okev acher noif minayin. How do you know there's a warning for one who's okev acher noif? Person who's trying to find, look at Rashi explains this three lines down from the top. Lokev acher haminayif, nasa l'apotropis, l'argilo nashim l'niyif. He just tries to look for women all the time involved in adultery. So where's the nazhara for such a involvement in such an isser? Tamalomar, losinaf, losanif. Losina means not to be involved with married women and other riles. Losanif, it's being read out here, is also don't be so proactive in trying to, I guess, create a whole system of some sort. So then the Gemara has another drush in the name of Shimon ben Tarfon. V'tiragna ba'alechem. What does that pasuk mean? It's a pasuk that appears in the beginning of Dvarim. So it's, it says Shimon ben Tarfon. I lost place for 1 second here. Shimon ben Tarfon omer. Tartem v'ginisem. We're splitting the word up tiragna into tarsem v'ginisem ba'aleh shel malkum. What that means is, Rashi explains, Tartem es aret, you spied the land. The ginisem es hamakom shishchen es shchinaso beinechem. How do you define the word ginisem here?
You spy it out and you disparage, disparage the tent of Hashem.
Okay. Disgrace of some sort. Okay, fine. That's what the word, at the beginning of the Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu is being very poetic in his final drasha, a lot of words there, even places, don't really mean anything. You have to darshan them to understand what they mean. So tiragna is a combination of the word tartem and ginisem. Then the Gemara says, ad ha-nahar gadol, nahar.
The Gemara shows that tiragna be'olechem, that's what it says in the Pasuk, doesn't mean you slandered in your tents, it means you slandered your tent.
Uh-huh.
So that's referring to you.
Okay. So then the Gemara says, what does it mean in the Pasuk? It says, ad ha-nahar gadol, nahar pras, the big gadol, the big river, the nahar pras. So what's pshat here? So Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, Karov Lagave Dihina Vidin. Those who are close to the Hina, we'll read Rashi in a second, will somehow get Hana. So we'll finish a line here, then we'll read Rashi, Vidibe Rabbi Shmuel, Tana, Ebed Melech, Kimelech. The servant of the king is like the king himself. Look at Rashi, says two narrow lines down, Lagave Dihina Vidin, Im Nagata Bimashuach Bishemin. If you touch someone who's been anointed with oil, to take Gamashuach Binigyasa, by you touching it, you're going to also take some of that oil. So kilomer, in other words, what's the phrase mean? Pras who katan mishalosh naharos shaho mono etzlam levasof anarivi. Who pras? The truth is, pras was the smallest river amongst all four rivers. The other three were bigger. But kan, says Rashi, who kore oso nahar gadol. But here it's called the largest river. Bishvil shu nizkar kan al shem Eretz Yisrael. In this context, in Dvarim, it's being mentioned in the context of Eretz Yisrael. The gadula here doesn't mean size, but it refers to its chashivas, Rashi says. That's what it means. So if you touch a little bit of the Nahar Pras, it's going to expand, it's going to create more Kedusha. And that's why it's called Nahar Gadol. So again, Eved Melech, Kimelech. Gemara now quotes in the Mishnah, Hachenvani al Pinkaso. So the Brayis said that the Chenvani says he paid the Poalim. And the Poalim said they never received the money from the Chenvani, so the Baal Bayis had to take a Shua, each party rather. The Chenvani swears to the Baal Bayis he was never paid, rather he gave the money, you owe me money, and the Poalim says you still owe us money. They both take a Shua to the Baal Bayis, and he needs to take, he pays double, one to each. So asks Tani, the quote of Braisa, Tanya, Amir Rebbe, Terech Shua Zulama. So what's the need for a Terech Shua, which they say, what's the need for one of these people being a Shua Sheker? Why make them both take Shuas? One of them certainly is lying, so he thinks that, no, it doesn't really say what he thinks, but I'm going to guess that it sounds like no one should really be taking a Shua here. So Amir Le Rabbi Chia says, it's very nice that you found the Braisa. Problem with the Braisa is not the logic of it, but it's just not part of our Mesorah, because we have a mission that says, Tanina, Shneim Nishbar Venolin, Mi Baal Bayis. So we say, even though you think Torech Shua Zulama, we paskin that both parties, both the Chenvani and Poalim, would take a Shua and collect from the Baal Bayis. So the question the Gemara wants to know is, Kibla Minei or Lo Kibla Minei? Did Rabbi Chia accept this or not? The change of the mission that both parties should take a Shua. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tashma, the Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Poalin and Nishban lechenvani. The workers swear to the chenvani, but v'imisa lebal habayis mi baile. Remember that the workers are supposed to swear to the bal habayis that they never received anything. But the fact that this Braisa says that they're swearing to the chenvani, that we never received anything from the chenvani, it ends up being between the chenvani and the poalim, the bal habayis is completely out of the picture here. Sounds like he didn't accept it, that Rebbe didn't accept this din, and he paskin that not, but only one person takes his shvua, not both parties. So comes along Amar Rava, Poalim Nishban LeBaal Bayis. No, of course the workers are swearing to the Baal Bayis that they never received payment. So what's the idea of the Chenvani in the Braisa? B'maimud Chenvani, he has to take the Shua in the presence of the Chenvani, that I swear I never got anything from the Chenvani. Why is the Chenvani present? Ki heicha delichsefu minei. This way he's embarrassed. If in fact the Poalim are lying, they're saying we never received, in fact if they did receive, they'd be embarrassed to say takes the Shua in front of the Chenvani. We make sure the Chenvani is present when the Poalim swear to the Baal Habayis. Okay. Gemara now says, interesting case here, Itmar, Shtei Kitei Edim Hamachishos Zo Adzo. You have two Edim, two group of Edim, that are both in some other Edis, they go against each other. One of them are lying, and one of them is telling the truth, possibly. But they're Machish each other. So the question is, what do you do? So in a different Edis, could you accept one each individually? One of them is for sure lying. But let's say you could separate the two. So Amar Rav Huna, Zubar b'fnei atma u'meida, v'zubar b'fnei atma u'meida. We don't know which kat is true, which one's lying. So as long as we can look at them independently in a whole other case, if kat A is talking about some other case, and kat B is dealing with another case, you could actually accept each edus individually as trustworthy edim. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. But comes along Rav Chista Amar, Bahadeh Sadi Shukri Lamali, why do you need to deal with the 80 Sheker? One of them is possible. So you should say, let's be safe and call all parties off and say that we're not going to trust either one of you. Why get involved in any type of suffix? So Gemara is going to now bring a few different cases, four different scenarios, how this works out. Again, you have two kind of Edim that have been machish each other. So now they already have one of them is a suffix puzzle. We don't know which one. So the Gemara says, now let's have a case of Shnei Malvin Vishnei Lovim. Two banks lend money to two different Lovim. Completed two different transactions. Vishnei Shtaros, two separate documents. And one kat is in one transaction. The other kat is in the other transaction. Two completely independent cases. So Hainu Pluksayo, that's the very machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Huna. Rav Huna says you can accept each one since they're Bifnei Atzmo. We can view them independently. Rav Chista says no. Why? Behadi Sadi Shaki Lomali. We should throw out both documents. But we don't know which one's true. Let's just stay far away from these Edom.
Even though they're not machish in this Edom.
Exactly. Once they have a history of machish each other, there's a certain suffix psul on them. We don't want to get involved in any sfeikas. Second scenario. Malve v'lova, there's one malve, one lova, but shnei shtaros, two different transactions here. And each transaction between the two, one has each kat, kat A and kat B. So the halacha is yad bal hashtar al tachtona. The one who holds on to the shtar is on the tachtona, meaning what? So Rashi explains here, yad bal hashtar al tachtona, around eight medium wide lines up. He says, bein l'rav huna, bein l'rav chista, ein cholkin bazet. There's no machlokas, everyone agrees in this case. The malva says, you owe me money. Either this document or that document. One is true, one isn't. I don't care which one. You tell me which one. All you have to do is take the lowest one, the least amount. Because let's say there's a $100 one and then a $200 star. So if you're telling me the $100 star is puzzle, then my $200 star is kosher. If you're telling me the $200 star is puzzle, my $100 star is kosher. So one of them is vade kosher, so he's able to take, at least collect, from the least of the two sharos. So that everyone agrees to. The third scenario, says the Gemara, is Shnei Malvin v'lov Echa. Two banks lend separately to one lova. They're both saying, La Ruven, you owe us money. V'shnei sharos, two separate documents with each one as Kat A and Kat B. Hainu Masis, and that's our very Mishnah, where both Malva is collecting from the Baal Bayis, right? The Paulim say, you owe me money, the Baal Bayis, and the Chavani says, you owe me money, the Baal Bayis. So we said in the Mishnah that both of them take a shrua. Both Malva could take a shrua from the Lova, and then they would collect from the Lova. And then the final case is, Shnei Lovin u'malva Echad. There's one bank, but this one bank lends to two different Lovin, and they're two different transactions, two different sharos, Shnei Sharos. My. So now what's going to do here? So I'm going to collect from the Lova. Lova says, no, my star is puzzle. I collect from the other Lova. That Lova is going to say, my star is also puzzle. So unclear whether the Malva is able to collect anything in this case, because each Lova could say, I've got the puzzle Edim, I've got the puzzle Shtar, and therefore they're off the hook, and the Malva can't make any better claim here. And the Gemara says, what's the Psak Mai? The Gemara says, Teku, in that case. Okay? We'll stop here.